on this week's episode of the Mild Mannered Podcast, number 27, The Walking Mild Mannered. We review The Walking Dead, and does anything else happen, Sam?
Absolutely nothing else happens at all in the entirety of the show.
You sure you don't do anything to yourself?
I don't do anything to my face with my hand at all, Alex.
Okay. Great.
Are we clear?
Yeah, we're clear.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
You unlock this door with the key of geekdom. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of word bubbles. A dimension of panels. A dimension of gutters. You're moving into a land of both comics and trades, of heroes and indies. You've just crossed over into the Mild Mannered Podcast.
Okay, you want to intro it? Or are we just, you know, it's just the two of us today, so I mean, we could just be casual.
We could
be cash.
I was just going to say, let's be cashmere.
Yeah, let's be cashmere.
I feel like we should play that now.
Is the hand going over cashmere?
Oh, God, no. The cashmere man breasts. They're everywhere.
Cashmere man shirts.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So cashmere feels like...
cashmere feels strangely like industrial cotton.
Yes.
Funny thing about that.
Oh, thank God this is not a tactile podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
The tactile cast.
That would be... I mean, what is that thing with, they can, like, smell the radio?
Yeah, well, like, you know what I'm saying? They originally were planning, so, like, you can have smell-o-vision in movie theaters. And, but it would actually, it began to make people, like, too sick in there, so they had to actually get, like,
because it's just so horrible.
Yeah. tactile feel.
You go to, like, see, a Freddy Krueger movie.
And you get the feeling of sand on your fingers.
Yeah.
Why is it sand?
What's going on? Oh, the metal claws!
Yeah.
They're in my blood.
Oh, okay.
As they do tend to be.
Well, speaking of metal claws, actually...
Yes!
Oh!
Oh, segues!
Yeah, old segues. Welcome to the Mild Mannered Podcast. I'm Mild Mannered photographer, Alex Erdy.
Mild Mannered man on the street, Sam Riedel.
And because of time constraints, Mild Mannered Music Man.
Mild Mannered Music Man, Mike Kilmer.
I sound stuck exactly in that closet. Like him. I sound just like him.
It's kind of funny because he does a really good impression of you as well. Just as good as yours.
All right, I'm Sam Riedel.
I am Sam Riedel. I am Vengeance. Yeah. I am the Knight.
Apparently you're Batman.
I am the man on the street.
Okay. Well, he's,
Yeah.
Well, cell phones suck.
cell phones are awful.
Let me just read to you the, tweet, like, the actual, like, messages back and forth. Because it's kind of funny what happened. Basically, what time are you and Sam free this afternoon? And we had said previously, the day before, it was like 4 to 6, we're all free.
Yeah,
and then I get two messages, like, one half, and then two half. And then nothing. Exactly. And then nothing. It's like, and just periods of time. Of course, the text I sent was empty.
But
that was about 5 hours later.
Oh god.
Yeah. So yeah. So basically, he can't. He might be able to join us for the last final review of the week.
We need that. Yeah, we are reviewing The Walking Dead. They live!
And the episode, and the title episode of this is The Walking Mild Mannered.
That was actually the most successful...
That was. The
one
that
I think I've ever done.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
But coming through the week of October 28th, 2009, Wolverine hardcover, Old Man Logan!
He's old.
Marvel Comics, $34.99. And there are maps inside, too.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my, I picked up the first issue of that when it came out. That was my favorite part, was seeing the map.
That's what everyone says.
Oh, no, it really was. I love cartography of the future. And seeing, like, this is Magneto.
There's going to be a whole new genre of geek where it's just future cartography instead of, like, science fiction. It's just maps of, like, possible futures.
No, I swear to God that I would buy a Marvel atlas of their, like... Days of Future, but whatever.
Jordan, you're listening? Put it out.
Do it up now.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, Cobra, trade paperback, indie, 1999. G.I. Joe has an enemy.
It's actually really? Apparently it's actually a really good series. Apparently, it's actually getting
the G.I. Joe. Yeah,
it's actually apparently like 24-esque. This
Goa?
Version of it, the Cobra.
Oh, that's just weird.
It's like it's kind of interesting.
I'm not used to hearing G.I. Joe and like quality.
Yeah, I know it's interesting. It's sort of I'm surprised myself.
I don't know.
Sword Trade Paperback Volume 3, Earth, Image Comics, $14.99.
Freak Angels Trade Paperback Volume 3, Indie, $19.99.
Oh, there's the other one.
So what?
Oh, I mentioned to Sam before, this is Warren Ellis week, and then I was like, where's the other Warren Ellis I remember seeing before? Why don't you go ahead and take that, too.
Freak Angels Trade Paperback Volume 3, and Transmetropolitan Trade Paperback number 4, The New Scum, New Printing, DC Comics, $14.99.
Are those going to be your picks of the week, Sam? I feel like it's just us, so we can just go ahead and say that's our picks of the week.
Yeah, just Freak Angels is definitely one of my picks of the week. I think I've mentioned before, it's Warren Ellis's webcomic.
Yeah, actually, speaking of webcomics, I just actually, you know, Scary Ground.
I know.
He finished that, and he actually started another thing called Bad Machinery. And I just read all of it last night so far. What's up with that? And I really enjoyed Bad Machinery actually more than I liked Scary Ground. Actually,
I read the first couple of pages of it. I haven't. It started out strong, but I just kind of forgot about it. So I might go back to that.
Yeah.
The New Scum is like obviously DC's new. Reissuing of Transmetropolitan,
which is the ones I'm waiting for because I have the newer issuing and
which is your right as an American. I actually do like the cover illustration for this new printing. Not that I'm going to be picking it up. I already own the New Scum, but
if there was a poster, you would get it.
Oh, absolutely, because this is. I recognize the artist for that too, but I can't think of who it is.
Oh well.
But no, it looks
next comic is Invincible Iron Man Trade Paperback Volume 2, World's Most Wanted, Marvel Comics, $14.99.
Heard that was really good. I think we started talking about that after.
Yeah, I think this was really next Spider-Man American Sun premiere hardcover in Marvel Comics, $19.99. This is actually my pick of the week because this is something that I've been waiting for. It kind of is one of the. This is after I started going to trades, and now that it's out, I'm excited because this is Norman Osborn bringing back Harry Osborn into the fold of fun of superheroes.
Oh Christ! Just what we needed. Absolutely.
Jason Chastain, you want to join us for the podcast? Okay. He's being really quiet for some odd reason. Really? It doesn't matter. You can just talk. It's okay.
It's going to be okay, Jason.
I'm sick.
Oh, you're sick?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Hopefully we're not keeping you up. We'll finish soon anyway.
Don't worry.
I got into the London program also.
I heard.
Okay.
I was going to say what my mom said I got into the program. Well, that was no surprise. What do you want me to expect?
And now for Mike's pick of the week.
Oh yeah,
Mike isn't here, but we can do an impression of him.
My pick of the week is
Sandman, the Dream Hunters hardcover, DC Comics, $24.99. It's out, guys. It's out.
Yes, I don't actually. I'm thinking because this is sort of my pick of the week as well. I mean, I'll try and get in on a little bit of this too because it's great. This is Neil Gaiman and Yoshitaka Amano with art for this thing.
Good job for not pronouncing that with an Asian accent there.
No, yeah.
Thank you.
I could now if you want me to.
No, it's okay. Let's go without the Asian accent for one episode.
All right. We'll try.
We'll see
what happens.
Serious, guys. For realsies.
Serious business. All right. Game face on. Yeah. No, but I don't know if it... I think this is a reprinting.
Let me get the more info out.
I know it's already out by.
Oh, apparently it's the 20th anniversary of the Sandman.
Oh, that'll do it. That will do it. In fact, wait a moment. The Dream Hunters, the 4-issue comic set. Oh, okay. Now this is just fucked up. Here's a comic adaptation of Dream Hunters, which was prose with art by Yoshitaka Amano, and, which already came out like years ago. I mean, this is a collection of a comic book of a prose novella based on a series of comic books. So, okay. That's kind of dumb. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I like the Dream Hunters and everything.
Spider-Man hardcover newspaper strips. Marvel Comics, $39.99.
All the strips that are fit to print.
J.J. Jameson, cigar. You should have a cigar every time. You should, like, honestly, the fact that you don't.
I have a cigar.
You know, I'm really disappointed. I'm really disappointed because I was told by your girlfriend that you're going as a poet, and the fact that you carry around a cigar all the time. You really should be going as J. Jonah Jameson.
I kind of should. I should, like,
because you could do. Yeah, exactly. You should do, like, you know. You could just style your hair enough, like, you know that.
I mean, I could. I mean, we'll say this really, but I'll tell you about like how my Halloween costume has progressed to the idiocy and the complete bullshit that it is.
We'll talk about that later. I was hoping, it's kind of funny, I'm trying to go with Spider-Man, and I'm just, Peter Parker, though. And I'm trying to, like, I'm waiting for Mike to come back just so I can ask him if he can do a black eye for me.
A black eye?
Like, Peter Parker going around, like, where'd you get that black eye? I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. No, I see.
Make it a meta costume.
Yeah, that's intricate.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how are you going to fit your newfound beard underneath the mask?
I'm not sure whether I should get rid of the beard because it is only going
to
be.
Right. No, but that's going to take you so long to
it would.
Get the. And it's well trimmed and kempt. I don't know if you want to mess around.
And I actually want to, and I'm trying to, like, this is for London, I want to make it I'm trying to make it mutton chops, first of all.
Oh, now see, I have a friend who just grew out.
Yeah, I know, I saw the photo, yeah. He's like, that's what I was doing, damn it, he beat me to it.
One of my friends who's up in, where is it, like, SUNY Ranger School.
Ranger school,
but it's like forestry.
Isn't your normal army school. This is Ranger school.
No, but he's up in like the Adirondacks in the middle of nowhere, bumfuck nowhere. Chopping wood, building fires, in the middle of the.
And he has a mutton. He has mutton chops. Huh.
No, yeah, and he's been growing out.
I think it's funny that I've never heard of a SUNY Ranger School, but that's awesome.
It's a SUNY School of Forestry and Environmental Science. So it has the assuming that he hasn't transferred to a more even more outback SUNY outpost, I suppose the name would be. But he used to, at least used to, if not continues to go to the SUNY school with the longest name. So, I can't even remember.
Speaking of long names of comics, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because there's a lot. New Avengers, trade paperback volume 10, Power! Marvel Comics.
That's a long name.
$15.99. It took it out of me. I gotta get my breath back. Why don't you take the next one?
Yeah, Batman Monsters, trade paperback. Oh, wait, no, Batman Monsters, trade paperback. DC Comics, $19.99. I think I did my old person voice in there. I really don't have much of a span of accents to choose from, really.
It's finite. Okay, I will, in honor of the...
Oh, really?
He's gonna be sad, I guess. This one's for you, buddy.
Transformers, OL Megatron, Paperback, Volume 3, IndieCox, 1999.
Although, if that was really a robot accent, be...
101 Indy. It's binary. Joke. Laugh, fleshlings.
You can laugh now. It's okay.
If then funny, go to laugh.
No, that's why I actually watched Star Trek Generations last night, which is the movie where Data gets emotions.
Oh!
He, like, puts in a chip, and then he comes up to LeVar Burton. I just can't get over the fact that LeVar Burton did Star Trek. But he comes up to him while they're on some ship scanning for rare metals and everything. And he comes to him and like, I get it. That joke you told where the Ferengi walks in and is like, no, that wasn't her. I get it. That's funny. When you said that on the Farpoint mission. The Farpoint mission was 7 years ago, Dave. Yeah, no, and I just got it. Because Brent Spiner is amazing. I don't know if you were aware.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor.
Let's see.
Kabuki, trade paperback Alchemy, Marvel Comics, $24.99.
I have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, me neither.
Hulk, premiere, hardcover, volume 3. Hulk, no more! Marvel Comics, 1999.
Only that was the last trade.
Yeah, that's just Jeff all Lowe. The Hulk, and we will never see any more Hulk stories ever again. That's fine.
That's the same one as well. Fantastic Four Visionaries, John Byrne, trade paperback, volume 1, new printing. Marvel Comics, $24.99.
Marvel Masterworks, Amazing Spider-Man, trade paperback, volume 3. Marvel Comics, $24.99.
Let's get the Atlas. Yeah. Oh, you do like Atlases, right. Though.
Atlas...
Oh, no.
Marvel Masterworks, Atlas Era Menace, hardcover, volume 3. Marvel Comics, $59.99. That does not make any sort of
sense
syntax.
Of, yeah. And also, I was thinking we should have a most expensive award of the week and most cheapest award of the week.
Most cheapest, I like.
Yeah, most cheapest. Yeah. You know, like, what is
the most of the cheapest.
Yeah. What is the cheapest one here?
Right.
And this is the most expensive so far for $60.
Thus far, yeah.
Legion of Superheroes, Enemy Rising, trade paperback, DC Comics, $14.99. Oh, here are the enemies.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys. Come on in. We brought sodas.
Oh, you guys are great.
You guys are... Gen 13, World's End, trade paperback, DC Comics, $17.99. I guess that's the new Wildstorm World's
Is
End.
Is that? Okay.
I don't know. Apparently they were trying to get all of the... With the relaunch of the Wildstorm titles, they were trying to get some sort of storyline that would tie everything in.
I really hope they don't for Ex Machina.
Well, no, I mean,
hate
I guess
that happened.
No, because I guess that, but everything that happens in the quote unquote Wildstorm continuity, like the Authority and the Midnighter and
yeah.
13, and that's I don't even know any of the other
yeah,
Wildstorm
it's
titles.
Cool.
But they wanted to start off with an event right away. I guess I don't know,
that's fair enough. Spider-Man Short Halloween Premiere Hardcover, Marvel Comics, 1999. And this would have been my pick if it was just Short Halloween in a small trade. But instead, it's $20 and you get the Short Halloween, but then you also get the Amazing Spider-Man Family 4 through 6.
I don't know if there's any reason that you would ever want to have that in hardcover, if at all.
The Short Halloween I did enjoy, but... If it was just a Short Halloween for $10, like a trade of it, like, you know, kind of, or a hardcover at least of it together, that would be, I would like that. But you have to kind of deal with the whole,
Here's the thing, and this brings up, the Short Halloween again in my memory. I bought it, and it was fun. I didn't think it was really worth $5, but it was alright.
I thought some of the jokes were really funny, though.
Yeah, and I mean, I had no problem with the Short Halloween in and of itself. But this, I never really understood why it came out in... It came out in, like, July, didn't it? July or August?
Yeah, it came out in December when we were...
I was going, why are you coming out with your Halloween special?
We could come out with the trade now, before Halloween.
But there was no... Yeah, there was no reason. And now you have the trade edition of this one decent story with three issues of a book...
That was canceled.
of a canceled family friendly Spider-Man,
and also
not even a
special
run.
Appearance from Swiney Girl, daughter of Peter Porker.
All this and
more.
Exactly.
You
definitely want to go and spend $20 on the hardcover, nice glossy edition of this shit.
If it was just that, I would have, like, pick up the Short Halloween. But you can't just pick up the Short Halloween because you have to buy the others as well.
It cannot be done.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because I remember being told that they actually put the Short Halloween in another Spider-Man trade, like, a while ago.
What?
Yeah, so it's sort of like...
It's really things like this that ground you and make you realize... Because I've been, like, coming to grips with the fact that, given that I am... I like DC generally over what is going on at Marvel. But now I've been coming to grips with the fact that DC is a lot of the time, if not most of the time, retarded up the ass, retarded just through in and out.
Especially when it comes to trades, they are retarded.
Yeah,
because it fucking takes them forever to get a trade out, and then it takes forever to get the the trade paper. Like, you get the hardcover that's, you know, twice as expensive as other comics, and then you get the trade.
And, like, even in the stories themselves, they're like, the fuck that grounded in reality bullshit. We're pulling out all the stops. But it's things like these that make you like, this is a business, and everybody fucks up big time every once in a while. And I get, this is Marvel's time to do that.
Yeah. And you also have another, a cover variant for Old Man Logan as well, which is kind of funny.
The return, when did variant covers return?
Yeah, not just variant covers, but variant covers for trades. For
trades.
Variant covers for, like, soft covers.
Didn't we come to the conclusion that variant covers were bad when they crashed the industry in the 90s?
And the problem is, as well, like, it's for the fucking dust cover.
Yeah, it is the dust cover, which... You take it off and you admire the actual book, which is a lot of times much more simple and more beautiful than the actual dust cover. I bought the at New York Comic Con last year. I bought Selena's Big Score, a Darwyn Cook Catwoman one shot.
Oh, right.
Which was on the dust jacket was like this sort of a caper flick movie type of thing, like Selena's Big Score, Catwoman, Selena Kyle in this sort of white, close-fitting pantsuit sort of thing with a really flashy-looking,
not bad.
Like Marilyn Monroe with black hair kind of thing. And then her two cronies, one is the guy she's known for years, old grizzled ex-con. Who knows all the different tricks. And the other is the new kid who, he's not 25 yet, but he's going to make a name for himself, and he's got a few tricks up his sleeve. And they're banding together, and they're going to take on the mob, and they're going to steal millions of dollars. So from a moving train.
And actually, like, I want to show you the two different hardcovers for the Wolverine Old Man Logan. This is the first one. And then this is the second one.
What? Oh, that's Michael Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's, like, basically just the two of them.
Goodnight, Sweet Prince.
Yeah.
For Michael Turner. And I mean, neither of those covers are things that I have a problem with.
But it's just kind of silly that, are you going to be able to see the other cover in the back of the comic? Like,
here's the thing. It's
definitely practice. Expensive. It is $35, which I think is an interesting thing to talk about, but it is 7 issues long, actually. It isn't like, it's the whole series. That's not
if you're a fan, and some people are really big fans of Old Man Logan.
And I definitely have been waiting to actually kind of pick this up when I got the chance. Because I never actually was reading it, but I was hearing great things about it, so.
Yeah, and, but I mean, look, it's common practice in publishing, just across the board. When you have a new printing of something, even if it's the same publisher, then a lot of the times the cover art changes, and the dust jacket changes, or even in paperback, the artist will change. But when you're publishing the same printing, this is a first printing of a hardcover comic.
And they did this for Marvel Zombies, too, when it was really popular.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's
right. They sold out, like, multiple copies of the hardcover.
Many times over.
Exactly, and I actually picked, I think I had, like, the fourth printing of it?
But this is, like, coming out simultaneously. And variant covers, I don't know. It makes me a little sad inside. Because it is so obviously
they
a gimmick.
Should, like, you know, they should know that, you know, it might sell out on its own, like, you know, just one of them. And then they could have put out the second one afterwards.
Yeah.
It's not like they could, you know.
There is no shame in just saying, hey, let's hold this art in, like, in the background, so then when we put out a new printing of this, people will have a reason to look at this twice.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
I know. It's and, like, you know, we all need change, so,
The Barack Obama comic book biography hardcover, indie, $14.99. I like what you did there.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yes, we can make a good segue, Sam. Yes, we can. Ja!
I learned how to say that in German in class yesterday.
Gold Digger source book. Trade paperback. I was trying to make like a joke about one of your girlfriends.
She's
like,
a gold digger.
But she ain't messing with the broke. One of your girlfriends. But I was just like, maybe not.
Well, I only date high class, wonderful women. And
exactly.
If you're to insult their beauty and integrity.
Which is why I decided not to.
I'm afraid, bad things would happen to
and
your
you don't have a glove.
And your anatomy.
You
no,
don't
I
have
don't.
A glove. You don't have a glove to throw down.
No, or throw in your face.
Or you throw in the face and then you throw down, right?
Well,
we're going over proper duel techniques.
Duel
right technique. Now, folks.
I mean, really, what you should be wearing is your immaculate white gloves.
Immaculate,
and then,
yes.
And then take it as you are verbally berating your opponent or soon to be opponent. You should be taking it off finger by finger,
right.
Yank it off the thumb, then yank off the whole glove, and then, ow, I just. Holy shit! I just hit myself in the face while I was demonstrating how to hit someone else in the face. Well, fuck.
Wow. Thank God this is only an audio podcast and no one else will see that.
Yeah, but they're going to tell your friends. Sam Riedel doesn't know how to hit people in the face. Clearly my Taekwondo training is going splendidly.
Because you're such a master at physical action that you can hit yourself and still be surprised by it.
And the hand-eye coordination.
It's not like I would hit myself and like, oh, I saw that coming. It's not like I'm so fast.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know how to react. My hand was just moving at the speed of...
Oh, God. And these next two comics are actually I'm kind of interested in, and I would like to pick up Hack/ Trade Paperback Volume 6, In Revenge and in Love, Indie 1899. And this is actually, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of every kind of female that survived a horror film.
Oh,
is basically kind of this main character. She's sort of like, and she, like, basically her, like, whole, like, the whole path now she's taking is basically hunting every possible slasher.
That's pretty cool.
And we should definitely review this next Halloween.
Yeah.
Because I am really thinking that, like, far ahead of time now.
Nice. I heard about Hack/ through the webcomic Something Positive, actually, fairly recently.
Yeah.
This is how geeky Something Positive is, that the current storyline is a role-play... The characters are playing a role-playing campaign... Based on Hack/.
That sounds pretty badass, actually. I would like to play. I wouldn't mind playing that sometime.
Yeah. So they're. So that's the Halloween. It should be still going on when this goes up live. But it did sound interesting. And it should be one of those books that plays with the tropes of horror flicks. If it's not, I mean, I'll be probably disappointed. But. Given that it's reached volume 6 here, I would imagine that it can only be one of those types of... Oh my god.
It's definitely our Cheesecake Award of the Week, the next comic.
Yeah,
read it, and it's actually pretty funny, actually.
Actually?
Yeah. It's Mercy Sparks, Trade Paperback Volume 1. I have the comics application on that you can download for the iPhone. That's sort of part of Comicology. They actually kind of give you free issues of, like, kind of the first or zero issues of comics.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get into other comics that you wouldn't normally kind of get into. And, I read Welcome to Wonderland that way, the first issue.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that you wouldn't normally have gotten into Welcome to Wonderland?
I wouldn't have spent any money.
But you would have.
But this is
that.
Mercy Sparks is pretty funny, though, actually, and it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
We're looking at Mercy Sparks is clearly a demon woman.
She's a succubus, I guess you can say. Like, you know, but it's more of like this level of realism where it's pretty funny. I love the fact that she actually, the jeans have a hole in them.
Do they?
There's a button there.
Oh my god. That's
to go
that's
around
a
the tail.
Detail. Who did the art for this? Do you know?
I don't know. Let me get out of this, actually. Done. Let's see if this. Yes. Art by Matt Wilson.
Kudos to Matt Wilson.
Yeah.
You are
the man knows when to...
some fucking attention.
He is. The man pays some attention. And it's, it's an interesting series. The volume 1 just came out, and I'm tempted to pick it up when I, perhaps, if I can find it on sale or something, It's indie, it's actually, what it actually is part of is Devil's Due. That's the publisher. And it's 18.99, and it's I'm not sure how many actual issues it is, but
Support Devils Do. I cannot remember where I heard of them before, but indie publishers deserve your love. Yeah, indie publishers deserve your love a lot more than the next title does.
God, yeah.
Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. I don't know what LC stands for, but it's like the new.
Yeah.
It's the current book that is being made into a into a comic book.
Yeah.
Anyway, but this is part one, book one, Animator from Marvel Comics, 1699. I won't comment too
this
much.
This is the prequel actually. To Reanimator.
Well played.
Yeah.
I won't say too much about it.
Yeah.
Chris Sims has already done the internet's work for us.
We got to get him on sometime.
Oh, man. I will badger him on Twitter until...
Yeah.
But he has his own podcast.
That's definitely the fun thing we can do now that, you know, once we are separated again by Skype, I mean, we definitely should have some more guests on at least. Yeah. Because that's something we can do.
Should happen.
Once we get, you know, Skype working, actually, and figure out, like, what the fuck is wrong with it.
Yeah.
We got to do some more tests, I think, before we go. But Superman in World's Finest Archives, hardcover, volume 2, DC Comics, $59.99. That's expensive as well.
Yeah.
It's a tie right now for the most expensive comic.
Collecting just Superman stories from World's Finest?
Apparently, it's issues 17 to 32.
Okay, so it's just World's Finest.
Yeah.
But putting Superman in big, bold letters will...
Yep. The World's Finest Comics. Well, we'll have to see about that.
World's Finest got really fucked up.
Did it?
This is, of course, during the times when all DC comics were crazy fucked up during the comics code. But, yeah, no. Pop Wonderland hardcover, volume 2, Little Red Riding Hood, Dark Horse Comics, $16.95.
Che Graphic Biography, hardcover, volume 1, Hill and Wang edition. Indie, $22. I'm just in the Che Guevara pose while reading that. You know, that's my accent there.
All right. You know, I think Che Guevara is really iconic for today's
college youth who like to wear shirts that are red and have his image on it.
I was gonna say, or army green.
Yeah, or army green. Right.
It's very chic.
Yeah. It is the cliche college shirt to wear around.
Christ.
Do you have one?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
No. I fucking hate those shirts.
Yeah.
So much. You have no idea. Everything, because they're the bad kind of irony.
It is.
You know.
That and the college shirt, actually.
Oh, the John Belushi one.
Yeah.
Animal has, yeah. Now, every douchebag in a frat has one of those. I don't know.
And has the poster, too.
Well, yeah.
Actually, I would love to get an illustration of the poster, like someone, like a comic illustrator, to just redo the poster in like a comic. Like that'd be funny, actually.
That would be pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be creative.
King Kong of Skull Island trade paperback, indie, 1895, as opposed to all the other King Kongs.
Yeah, as opposed to the King Kong of the Hampshire King Kongs.
Or the Rhode Island
King Kongs. Yes.
The Rhode Island Kongs. The illustrious Kong family.
Yeah. PS 238, trade paperback, volume 7, Daughters, Sons, and Shrink Ray Guns. Indie, $15.99. And I'm not sure if you know what a PS is, Sam.
Public school.
Yes, I am from the Bronx, so
yes,
I have more, knowledge of what a PS is.
Well, I'll yield to your...
Yeah. A PS is a public school, and because there's so many of them, they get to be numbered, and this is the stories of PS 238, which is all, like, filled with kids of superheroes or something.
Are there in fact, daughters and sons in this public school?
And perhaps shrink-fray guns.
Perhaps.
Okay.
I thank you for your insight on public school systems.
There we go.
Christ. Red Snow hardcover, indie $24.95. That's all you're getting.
Yeah. Tank Girl Remastered Edition. Remastered Edition. I was like, that was an odd pause there. That was a birth of a pause.
Edition trade paperback.
Yeah. Volume 4 Odyssey.
Put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah. In D, $14.95.
It's like you're some sort of, like,
fucked up drug haze William Shatner or something.
Gotta get back to the ship.
Have you seen that video yet? Have you seen that music video yet?
No.
Okay, we're gonna take a break while Sam sees this music video. I'm gonna be right back after this.
Captain's log, Stardate 2.5, something I've taken too much LSD and dropped on the planet's surface. I've been trapped here taking plant poisons, LSD, I can't breathe. I'm underwater, I feel like my penis is on the ground. Captain's log, Stardate 2.5, something psychic, can't talk, I've taken too much LSD. I'm transmitting from the Earth's core. I'm trapped on this planet without my crew, without my ship. I've taken some sort of a psychedelic plant there. Couldn't be avoided. I'm now lying on my back. I'm trying to get a circumcision. My penis needs to be wrapped in pure alcohol. I need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. I need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. To go back to the ship. I can't breathe. To go back to the ship, I can't breathe. To go back to the ship, I can't breathe. Something fucking got to take it too much LSD. I've got to get off this planet. My crew, my ship, has two lackadaisical blue stone to even respond. I need some sort of a remedy. I need to contact the ship service. Go two times. Time to poison the line that take the dive. I've never taken so much LSD in my life. I need to go back to the ship. Captain Crew, I've got an emergency. I'm on the planet's surface. I seem to... Hello, Captain Crew.
This is Susan, go ahead.
I've got some kind of emergency down here. Some kind of a psychedelic plant. I feel like I'm breathing liquid water. Hello, crew. Get to Scott.
What the hell are you talking about, Captain? Can your name make some sense? Have you taken more LSD, have you?
I'm trying to take as much poison as I can to get this lackadaisical blue point in the right direction.
Listen, I just stole my fucking mind, Captain.
My people is like a penis blue. I can't go underground. I have to breathe 2 times. I feel like 2,000 people. I'm jumping out. I need help. Some kind of sick bay. I need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. Need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe. Need to go back to the ship. I can't breathe.
Like, let's just tell everyone, okay, guys, we're back, and actually, we're not doing Masterpiece Comic Book Theater because we kind of want to get this up, and I just got a message from Michael. So right, let's see. Ticket seller's sick, now I have to go early to help sell. Can't make it now. If you want, you can just review without me. Yeah, okay.
So, well, yeah. So
let's just finish, you know, get it done with because times are... I might kind of want to... Tomorrow is my movie marathon.
Oh, nice. Are
I'm watching nothing but horror films. If you want, you can join me. I have basically nothing but candy and horror films tomorrow.
Nice.
You're welcome to, you know the television I have, so
I do know
fun.
The television
and
you have.
I have like, basically a humongous impressive. List of things that I've just sort of seen on Netflix that are horror films that I've wanted to watch. Like, I haven't seen Carrie yet, so I've kind of...
No, I actually haven't seen Carrie either.
Cool. So, like, gotta watch, rewatch Tremors.
Other than, like, the, where they douse her in blood.
Yeah,
I've seen that. They're all going to laugh at you, Carrie.
I never even saw that, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're like, that's
I know, like, I know what it is. Like, I know, like, being mocked and, you know, kind of joked
But that's, like, her trigger, and then she goes.
But basically, we all have things we want to do tomorrow, you know, or during the day. Like, and basically, it's important that we get it done tonight. So, sadly, Mike can't join us. We promised Mike...
Requiescat in peace, dear friend.
Yeah. But actually, it's kind of interesting because I know you really didn't care that much for Walking Dead. I am actually... I'm a pretty big fan, so this is actually going to become more of a counterpoint with fisticuffs.
Fisticuffs will be had.
Because the gloves have come off, and that's too dangerous. Sorry.
Fuck you.
Would you like an Oreo?
I'll be fine, but thank you.
Okay.
All right. A review of The Walking Dead by Robert Kirkman and
art by Charlie Adler, Tony Moore, and Cliff Rathburn. And this is actually the version we are reviewing is compendium number one, which is the monster one that we talked about time ago.
Quite some time ago when we first heard it was coming out.
I was like, oh, I need to get this. And then I did when I got this for 25% off at Jim Hanley's universe. So thank you, Jim Hanley's.
And here's the this compendium collects issues number 1 through 48. And you're not getting anything but that. But if you're complaining about that, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because that's 48 issues of
it's 60. It's 60 bucks normally, and this is like, I think... Issues 1 through 48, I think it's like 4 different volumes.
I think it's more.
It's probably more.
Yeah, it's like, the trades, that gets you up to, I think, at least trade number 6.
Let me just quickly, just so we can actually do the math here, because I think it is sort of.
Because we love math.
I love math, yeah.
Math is schmexy shit over here at the Mild Mannered Podcast, it would seem.
Walking Dead. Here we go. Wikipedia article.
Wikipedia. That's not a scholarly source.
But at least have all the collections there.
It does have all the collections. This takes you up to volume 8.
Volume 8. So
that's...
A trade paperback volume is usually 15 bucks.
Let's call it 15.
Yeah, so 8 times 15, you're going to have to pay...
$120.
Yeah, exactly. And this is half their price,
that
actually.
That is half that.
So this is actually a really good deal.
And you got it for 25% off.
Yeah, so it's even more of a deal.
I love to do that with just, like, the big thing. Like when I buy 25% off of a trade that's, like, $20, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
But that is a good value. Like, regardless of what is inside of it, that's a...
I guess 15% off, 15 bucks off this, so...
Yeah. So let's... So the compendium... Well, if you are already familiar with the book before we start to review it, it's a great value.
Yeah.
If you haven't bought the trades already.
Just kind of, it takes us from the beginning to the end of the prison.
Right.
If you know anything, you'll know what that means. Right. We don't want to spoil too much, but it is actually a great ending, but it's not like I need to read more of this, actually.
Yeah.
That's the thing I actually want to kind of point out, that the one thing I like about this is that it collects everything that I, like, kind of, the first story that I kind of, I read all of this originally when I heard about what was going to happen in, like, 59. I heard about what, like, the big deal was, and I thought that was really cool. So I was like, let me read all this now before 59 comes out.
Because I haven't, like, read past the compendium, so I don't really know what's going on in the current situation of The Walking Dead.
But the thing is, though, I feel like it's like, oh, that's perfect. I really, like, you know, the next one, this is a great collection of everything. And it's not like I need to read the next one, you know, it's like I need to immediately go out and buy it.
Yeah, it's a good cap to the subplots that are currently going on.
Yeah.
But this is, if you couldn't figure out what the fuck we're talking about, wow. And
yeah.
But The Walking Dead is a zombie comic book.
It is. I think this is the one, I gotta say, this is one of the, like, the best zombie comics out there.
And I mean,
the ones that are out there aren't really zombie comics. We reviewed Marvel Zombies and, like, Marvel Zombies versus Army of the Darkness.
Yeah, that's not.
And they're not really like it's. This is a classic zombie story. You don't know what the fuck happened, and you're with the survivors. And people you know just exactly, trying to go on.
You know exactly as much as the survivors do, and absolutely nothing more.
And that's how I think a zombie. Like, and I think that's like what's great about the zombie story. And it's kind of interesting. Well, we read Marvel Zombies, which is written by Robert Kirkman, actually.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of this
because he's now the go-to man whenever you think of comic book zombies.
Yeah.
In the industry. But this, well, this brings what you were saying, Alice, is true. And I mean, I agree. This is basic and some would say classic zombie lit. But my problem with The Walking Dead as just as a whole.
Yeah, is you, it's you just have said that you've had some problems. I want to hear about this,
I had a few
actually.
Problems. But my general problem with The Walking Dead is just that it doesn't make me. It doesn't cast the zombie genre in any sort of new light or any sort of exciting way.
And that I understand. Like, you kind of want it to be, like, new. You want it something, yeah. Like, something edgy to be thrown in. And the thing is, I have to disagree with that because I kind of like the fact that it actually is sort of, it is your general, like, classic zombie story. And I like that. It's kind of interesting because every sort of, like, every trade of it actually is sort of, takes place in a different kind of area. Like, each one is sort of, like, the suburb storyline.
Yeah.
The prison storyline. Like, they're all, like, sort of, like, each one of these is, like, multiple horror movies on their own, actually.
Yeah, that's true. And this is where this book is, where the strength lies for The Walking Dead, is in a character-driven survival story.
Yeah.
Which is less about zombies, actually.
And more about the characters.
And more about characters. Which is a classic thing for zombie movies to be about.
And I think, actually, the thing that I like about this is that they've done, like, Kirkman has done, like, more of a job of making characters actually kind of, like, likable and kind of, like,
oh, yeah.
Building the stakes more than any zombie movie I have seen, actually.
No, yeah, that's true. And, I mean, a part of that is because he's,
I guess the factor of time itself is sort of something interesting.
And we were talking a little bit about this last week when we reviewed Lock and Key, but this is highly decompressed. Mm-hmm. And it takes a
time.
It takes a long time for things
and
to
And most zombie
pay
films
off.
You don't see that actually. I think it's just like
because everything's everything's like boiled down into a day.
Yeah, and I think this is actually interesting for a hook is that it actually is like it's zombies over time. Like you kind of come to understand, like, you know, it's like, well, okay, you gotta, like, at night, you don't walk out, you know, you kind of just stay inside and don't use, like, you know, all these kind of zombie rules that you sort of learn, like, that you kind of have to obey over time.
Yeah, and you can see where The Walking Dead takes cues from some prominent stuff. Like, if you've seen 28 Days Later, you're going to recognize the opening sequence.
Yeah. And I think, I'm not sure actually when this was, we should actually do a time, because I make, that is something I thought about, and this was, I saw Walking Dead afterwards, and I feel like this is something that we should actually look up quickly. 28 Days Later. Okay, 28 Days Later is 2002? Post-apocalypse, yeah, 2002. And
yeah,
this
that
is,
came out in 2003.
No, this is a Television 9, 2003. Okay, so this is actually right afterwards. And I think it's kind of interesting because I actually like the beginning of 28 Days Later, and I think it's actually it's cool that they did start it off like that because.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. It's an entirely logical way to start it off, and a good reason and a good way to explain why he doesn't know what's going on.
And I think it's great because they avoid any kind of reason. Like, this is the scientific, like, this is the sciencey reason that will, of course, lead to zombieism. It's just like, there are zombies now. Get, like, you know, that's all you should be concerned with, not, like, you know, how it happened.
And here's the other thing. An opening like that where the character wakes up, I'll just come and say it.
Yeah.
Our main character wakes up in a hospital where he's been lying in a coma for a little while. And and all of a sudden, nobody's there. Mm-hmm. So you recognize this immediately from 28 Days Later, the exact same thing.
And actually, there are zombies in the hospital.
Yeah, there's zombies
cool.
in the hospital that are just lying around. It's like, what the fuck? So this sets up a really good literary thing, which is as he learns what's going on, we learn what's going on. So you get to pace it appropriately. So from a writing standpoint, that's fantastic. It also sets up further down the line something really cool, because everyone else on the planet, presumably, has already figured out what's going on.
And, yeah. and or you that, hope so, you know? Yeah. It's like sort of like this cool thing, like, well...
And, yeah, and the fact that the planet's been overrun by zombies, or at least America, or where we are, has been overrun. Everybody knows that. So he's been thrown into the zombie apocalypse, and the last thing he remembers is just doing his job as a sheriff.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting, because he is a sheriff, actually, which is something that you don't usually see when a lot of...
Yeah, law enforcement officers.
Yeah, usually it's like you see the law enforcement character be kind of the dick, like, that dies pretty quick, because it's like, you know, it's like, okay...
We gotta stick by the rules.
Yeah.
But having him be the character who doesn't know what's going on and gets plunged into it creates all this psychological shit that goes down, and that really changes how... he views the world, because as a rule, a police officer has to be an agent of order, or he's not going to be a police officer for very long.
And I think it creates like this great character dynamic where it's just like, you are kind of, it is from his point of view, you know, you're seeing it like, I mean, it's not like first person or anything, but it is written as his character, sort of, he is...
And we obviously see interactions from other characters off to the side, but we see, but most of the comic is told from Rick's point of view.
Yeah.
But... He starts to lose his hold on, like, what he used to hold as his basic human...
Yeah, and I think it's something that he points out, like, a lot. Like, I think it's a lot of kind of great dialogue. I'm just going to... You can hold on to that. I was just going to kind of find also something as well, like... Because the artist is something that I was going to mention as well, because people keep... yeah, here we go.
Tony Moore. Let's talk about him for a second. And I'll just wrap up. I was going to...
Yes, okay, so... Yeah,
I was just
talking
say,
about that, and we'll go back to that, but definitely...
And Rick just, he initially starts off with he wants to think the best of people, automatically.
He's a nice guy.
Friends, people that he's just met,
he's actually hit over the head, like, at first.
Oh, yeah,
he
gets smacked over the shovel, and he makes fast friends.
Yeah,
with
it's kind of like, you know, it's like...
And then you get into the later book... And he undergoes a gradual but very dramatic change in character. So, I mean, and you can, obviously, it's a contrast, so you can
it
see
is.
Where I'm going with this. But, so that's, my problem with the book, I guess was what I'm saying, is not with Kirkman's scripts, it's with, I think, Kirkman's plot. And just that, we found a safe haven, and now we can't be there, so we have to go to another safe haven. It's just a drawn-out version of many different aspects of what has already been established as zombie genre. But the way in which it is presented is pleasing.
Yeah.
I got burnt out because I tried to read, five trades at a sitting the last time I tried to read The Walking Dead.
Oh, really?
And I'm not inclined to read or watch zombie stuff
for that long.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one of my favorite genres.
Because I was actually reading this, like, you know, I actually had this on, I downloaded all this originally, which is why I kind of, like, bought this, because I was like, I downloaded issues 1 through 48 at first. It was like, I didn't know anything about it. It was just like, let me start reading this. And I had this on my stomach, in bed, just, I could not stop reading it at night. And it was just like, I kind of, like, I was up to, like, three, like, even before now, now I'm up till three anyway, but I could not go to sleep until I finished, like, reading, like, finding out what the fuck happened.
Yeah, I've had that problem with other things before. So, sometimes I had that problem with The Walking Dead when I was still, like, really incredibly invested.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, it even happened with me in the initial part of the book.
And I think
at least part of that has to do with the art of Tony Moore.
Yeah, and a lot of people do just, like, love Tony Moore. And he is a great artist, actually. And I gotta, like, you know, people keep saying, like, you know, it's a shame that they couldn't keep going with his art. But the man actually does a lot of work. And if you really, like, you know, I'm gonna just tell it right away, anyone else. And I actually kind of knew this already. It's pretty funny because I'd read Fear Agent already. Fear Agent is a classic kind of series with Rick Remender. And Tony Moore does all the art for that, actually.
I didn't realize that you lent me Tales of the Fear Agent over the summer, I think. And
you still have that, actually? I thought...
Do I still... No, I think I give that back to you.
Give it back to Sanders or someone. Like, something. I would check, because Sanders seems to, like, you know, everyone seems to think that they don't have it, and I know I don't have it.
I'll take a look. I'll take another look around, but I haven't seen it in a while.
It's a great kind of series, and I'm kind of actually waiting. I'm not buying anything else from Fear Agent. I kind of got Tales of Fear Agent for free. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting for this because Rick Remender has said he's making an omnibus of all Fear Agent, which will be great. But Fear Agent is all about, like, aliens and kind of alien invasions. And so if you like the art from the first one, you're definitely going to like the Rick Remender's Fear Agent, because it is nothing but alien goo and, and basically explosions and things like that. With color, actually. It's beautiful, beautifully colored and drawn.
Oh, yeah, and Walking Dead is all in black and white.
Yeah, it is a black and white comic.
Tony Moore did pencils, inks, and the grayscale.
Yeah.
For this entire thing. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And it really shows his attention to the big picture and to the little details.
Yeah.
He draws 5 o'clock shadow, and he draws barren landscapes.
And I've basically talked with, like, a lot of people. Like, I've talked with a friend of mine, Gemma, who was in the UK, who actually is really getting into it, and maybe we'll have to, like, I'll get a quick talk with her, maybe, if possible. But one of her complaints was she didn't like the new artist.
Yeah. It's a shift.
It's something that you have to get used to, and that's sort of the thing that I kind of got used to it, though. And I gotta say, you gotta think about it. Kind of the interesting thing is that his use of shadow, I think, is really good. In a black and white book,
I thought it got to be a bit much sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it was a little too dark. You couldn't see anything.
When you have that much solid black, this is coming from... I can't draw for shit.
Yeah.
So I am sitting back and...
Those who can't draw... Complain
about it on the internet.
Yeah.
No. And so take everything that I say about art with a grain of salt. But I think that with black and white comics, when you have a lot of black in a given page, you need to break it up a little bit. So
it works well because when they are in the prison, it's not like we can actually spoil that much about the prison, but when they're in the prison, it's all dark.
It's just a very dark place.
And I think that is fucking amazing to do in a comic about zombies. Because it's like, you're supposed to be scared. Like, the fact that, you don't know what could be happening in the next page. Like, them just coming out, which is a great way to, create some suspense, at least.
I guess the other thing, it would create more of a sense of suspense, I think, if it wasn't used so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just like, you see all that black, and it doesn't feel particularly ominous because everything is so black.
Yeah.
Or everything has comparable levels of black, except when you're in broad daylight on the road somewhere.
But, I mean, the thing is, it is black and white before, too. I mean, some of the faces took a while to get used to. I mean, I'm still, not sure how I feel about his Dale beard afterwards.
Yeah, it got hard. And I'm trying. I don't really want to slag down Charlie Adlard, because the quality of his pencils is quite good. At the bottom line, he's a good artist.
Yeah,
but I think
he's a really good abstract artist.
I would agree with that.
He's very the thing about Tony Moore is he's beautiful details. Like, I love the fight with Shane.
That's where it is. In that, there's one particular panel that I'm looking at right now, and Rick's best friend kind of loses it. Tony Moore has such a good grasp of emotions and everything because he has boogers, kind of crying, but just the complete loss.
Yeah.
Of the, and that is because he uses blacks more sparingly. And puts in grays, so that in the grays he can put in detail lines.
Yeah.
It's a stylistic choice, but it allows you to play much more with people's emotions and people's faces and little details.
Mm-hmm.
So Adlard's art, there's still emotion there, but it's a more generalized. Yeah. Sense of emotion.
What I think I like is the fact that, I like his settings. His scenes are much... I really enjoy those.
Yeah, he can set... And that is kind of ominous. When you see a new place that's masked in shadow, like, I'm thinking of the... they visit a town at one point, a completely deserted neighborhood. And this place is perfect.
Yeah.
But there's just enough, every house has an area of just solid black that is... that. creates a real sense of mystery, and you realize that they don't know anything about this. And I thought to myself immediately that these houses must be full of zombies. What's going
on
here?
They could be, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they go into these houses and, like, spend the night. And I'm like, oh, shit, what the fuck's going on here,
yeah,
man?
And
like,
they're scared because of that.
No, I did get scared at that point. But when you, at a certain point,
and
I think
I gotta
that,
say,
gets
it's not
that
like,
got
you know,
programmed out of me.
Yeah, the whole, but I think the whole thing with Black, I think, it's not like he uses Black all the time. We shouldn't be kind of like,
No, yeah, that's true. And he does use grays for, to separate things out.
But, and there are times when he does use a lot of Black, and I kind of like when he does, because I feel kind of like, just, you can see the shadows only, which I think is, like, awesome.
It's a neat effect.
I mean, sure, you're missing kind of the exact detail for faces, but I mean, that is definitely something that,
I just tend to, like, I think that, it's strong
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways, but, like, this panel that you just opened up, that's an example. It's strong in a lot of ways. It can convey emotion in a lot of, through the art, but there are spaces, and I think the Black issue in particular, as like evidenced by my amount of untrained bitching about it,
yeah.
That where it could take some cues from Bone. I mean, not that, and I'm just saying, because
fair enough. I understand.
Because in my unprofessional opinion, Bone is like the standard.
And I think actually another thing we should talk about besides just sort of Black and White is sort of the use of Black and White and I guess the two different artists of portraying gore actually.
No, yeah.
Because this is a zombie comic.
You gotta expect it.
There's gotta be some gore.
Yeah.
And I think that is definitely something that we should like think about as well. Like kind of the actual like it's kind of like I'm sort of just trying to find like something I didn't think about kind of.
Here's the difference I think. Tony Moore draws gore, but not blood.
Yeah,
Adler.
This is kind of interesting. He does, yeah, and
yeah. All you see in Adler's art, you see a lot of blood splatters, and when the occasion calls for it, when a head's chopped off or something,
yeah.
When then you see gore. It's not
you see
necessarily
what you see what happens because of you know you see
yeah.
the aftermath. It's not like a
yeah. and you won't always see the aftermath,
yeah.
but when it calls for
Tony
it, you
Moore,
see it.
I felt was definitely more of a Quentin Tarantino film when it comes to gore.
Where
the shot happens off the shot just happens off screen.
Yeah, sorry. And even when it happens on panel, you don't necessarily see so much
yeah.
of it. But when somebody gets bitten in a Moore page, then you and it's shown up. Like there's a guy that gets bitten on the arm at one
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I gotta find that again.
And he holds his arm up to the camera. And you
there we go.
And somebody else gets bitten on the neck, and you see exactly what's happening there. So I think, there's definitely more focus of gore and like the internal body, rather than just like spurting blood.
And
I think we should
the thing is we should also just give it a break because honestly. It's not like we can do anything about it now. It's like Adler is working on it. I get used to it after a while. It's sort of
if you do it with
the compendium, it's something like it's like you kind of get over it after a while because you are reading the compendium.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you have to buy the new volume. It's like what's this new artist
yeah.
now?
No, I mean I don't want to sound like I'm so down.
No, and you're not. You're not really being
there.
Down
was
on it.
There were just key on it. Like I got. A couple of the characters with short hair and beards
confused. Yeah, after a while,
they get confusing sometimes. Except when they're naked.
it's kind of fun. There's actually a lot of sex in here.
There's a great deal of sex,
and
which makes sense.
Like, it's kind of fun because it's not like the sex in horror films where someone dies immediately after. It's actually kind of like.
It's
great. There's actually like there's actually some like relationship comics in this.
Yeah, there's and what do you do? Like what happens when the emotions run crazy?
Yeah, and there's actually
the zombie apocalypse.
And I gotta say, there's one character that I just sort of loved. I feel so bad about what happened to her, but I just love sort of the arc that she took.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just gonna call her out, Carol now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Carol's a great character, and I just loved what happened to her. Kind of like it's really a shame what did.
You talk about her in the past tense or something. No,
sorry, but you won't find out about what happened to her though. or anyone really. But it is like,
yeah, until
this is a fan, like, you know, this scene is just so good, and I can't, you know, imagine it with anyone, like, you know.
Yeah,
this is great, like, no, you know, writing, like, I think Kirkman, like.
Here's the thing, yeah, and let's, I think this is, if we ended
it. Sure, the plots aren't great, but,
The plots are basic, and
I think that's what most zombie films are, like, you know, they're basic plots with just zombies in them.
This is, okay, yeah, if you go into a zombie film, and at the basic, what you can expect, and what you have to admit to yourself that you are expecting, is a film about corpses that want to eat people.
Exactly.
And that is all. But from that, if you get a sense of interesting characterization and psychological horror,
you can enjoy that, then.
That is when you know that you have something good. And Kirkman can do that.
And that's
and I want to say, this is clearly a visual podcast, by the page that you're opening up to right now, something really twisted and like fucked up in someone's mind.
You feel so bad, like, you know.
There is a person who welcomes death by zombie because they want that zombie to
suicide
like
by suicide by zombie.
Yeah, because they crave that who that person was before they were zombified. They crave that person's
attention
and
love.
Acceptance.
Yeah,
and that just speaks to a level of psychological horror that most people don't think of when they think
they
zombie.
They don't like it as like, let's just sort of, they happen to be kind of locked behind a door or something by accident. Yeah. Like, that's all. But no, they don't think about this.
This is to use my horror, in my horror comic phrase, straight fucked up in so many ways. But it's fucked up on a character level basis. And that's always been where Kirkman shines. I mean, in his Invincible.
Invincible. We got to review that eventually.
We should
too.
Reveal Invincible. Invincible isn't, in my mind, a great comic because of its plotting. It's fine.
It's a great comic because of its characters.
It's a fantastic comic because of its characters.
And I think that's where Kirkman does shine.
Invincible is one of the best reasons for superhero comics to exist. But I'm digressing.
No, yeah, I understand that. That's another day.
The Walking Dead, while in my opinion, if I'm giving my final review, once again, it doesn't bring anything necessarily new to the table, but what it does bring is strong characterization, truly impressive decompressed character arcs, and an overall enjoyable zombie comic experience.
Yeah.
I'd give it a thumbs up.
Me too, thumbs up. And I think that's definitely our review. I think that's a great review there, and I think we're going to call it a podcast.
We could, in fact, call that a podcast.
We can call it a podcast.
If we were to release that on iTunes.
Yeah.
Could we do that?
I think we can.
All right.
folks, I'm the mild-mannered photographer saying brains.
I am the mild-mannered man on the street saying, if you eat my brains, so help me God. I don't know what I could do if you've eaten my brains already.
Come on. We're all hungry out here. Let us in, Sam.
Yeah, don't lay this guilt trip on me,
I'm
Alex.
Sending you an email. Read your brains.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. Good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. I really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demands. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die screaming. We're not unreasonable, I mean no one's gonna eat your eyes. We're at an impasse here, maybe we should compromise. If you open up the doors, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. And I don't want to nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of food and guns, and then you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. But we're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the doors, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. I sure appreciate the way you're working with me. I'm not a monster, Tom. Well, technically I am. I guess I am. I've got another meeting, Tom. Maybe we could wrap this up. I know we'll get to common ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. And thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open. We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the doors, we'll all come inside and eat your brains.
Hey, did they like? You think they like the show, Sam?
You know, I don't know. I couldn't say for sure. I hope they do.
I mean, like, people occasionally tell us that they listened to the show and they liked it, but I mean, did they really like it?
Did they really?
Did like, you guys really like it?
If you did really like it, you should consider leaving a comment on our blog.
Or leaving a rating for us on iTunes.
Either one of these equally acceptable routes to demonstrate your love for our voices.
Exactly.
And opinions.
Our smooth, sultry voices.